Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of SG Explained. I'm your host, Elliot, and of course, joining me as always, this time just three of us in the studio, my good friends, Jamian and Rovik.
Hello!
Are we not enough, Elliot, just the three of us?
I mean, to be fair, this season has been chock full of, like, guests.
It really has.
So it kind of feels awkward now, like there's only three of us in the call. Not gonna lie, it's been an interesting season so far. Things are kind of easing up. How you guys been doing, adjusting to this new normal?
I actually have really been loving taking off masks when we're outside. I just feel so free, and I'm easing into that really, really quickly. I don't know about you guys, but when I walk out and I take off my mask and I see people not doing it, I'm like, why not?
Wait, so you've been judging me, Like, I've been wearing my mask all
the way. Well, I haven't seen you much, so...
Anyway, I'm gonna wear double mask when I'm around you.
Wait, what?
Elliot, I don't understand why you would be double masking.
With me around, of all people.
Especially with you around me, and like...
Because I'm a virus going viral.
Yeah. I don't want the infectious energy of yours. With what's been going on, everything's been opening up. I thought we'd take some time to talk a little bit about what we can expect when we go out these days, including the fact that nightlife is back on track.
Yeah.
People, well, sort of back on track. But I think first, like, drinks are overdue. We could at least go to a bar, right,
yes, guys?
And as such, for today's episode, I thought I'd take us through the story of our national beer. You guys can't see the air quotes, so I put national beer.
Yeah, we can hear the air quotes.
Thanks. Big reason why this episode is planned this way was because someone who I met at Beer Fest in 2015, I think, this foreigner, he just hit me up on Instagram saying he's coming to Singapore and was wondering where he can get some cool local craft beers. And in my head, I was like, uh-oh, I don't know anything. That kind of like spiraled me into some research. And I know you guys love drinking.
I only drink water. What are you talking about?
But yeah, but more than that, not just talking about Tiger beer today, but I thought we could do some diving into other local beers and see how it shapes what I like to call Singapore's brewing history. What do you guys know about Tiger? Like, what's your relationship with Tiger beer?
Tiger beer has always been known as the Singapore beer for me, right? I think since I was young, people have always called Tiger beer the Singapore beer. But I think Tiger beer has gone through a bit of a brand rejuvenation over time, because when I was growing up, Tiger beer was always called, like, quote unquote, shit beer when I was growing up. And I remember even in the army, basically people would always give us like really bad Tiger beer. But when I went overseas, actually what's interesting is that Tiger beer was known by a bunch of people who were, like, you know, very proactive about seeking out Asian beers as a good beer. And there was always this notion that the Tiger beer you get overseas is always better than the Tiger beer you get in Singapore. Tiger beer was intentionally shipping out its better stuff overseas instead of, like, giving it for the local. Because you do know that when you do brewing, not everything is good stuff, right?
There's
some stuff that's good. And the stuff that's like, it's okay. And so I think we were getting the it's okay stuff. I think things have changed. I will say things have changed.
But that's a rumor though, right?
I don't think Tiger beer will come out and say, hey, by the way, you guys only get the shit beer. Like, we're getting the good stuff overseas as policy, you know, like no one's going out there.
I would understand it, because from a certain perspective, you would want to project a stronger sort of international image. And locally, it's kind of like a captive market. You have Tiger beer or not. But here's the thing. I think because the beer market has gotten a lot more interesting recently, because you've gotten a lot more imports, you have a lot more craft beers from overseas, Tiger beer has had to step up its local game too.
Right.
And so that's why you have a lot of the stuff that it's doing recently where, I mean, we'll talk about it later, I imagine, Elliot, but they've done stuff like, they've done like an orchid beer, you know, they've done all this super interesting stuff to basically regain the Singapore market.
Oh, I have to be honest. I am completely neutral with Tiger beer. I actually really like it because of the Rattler. Tiger Rattler was made for kids. Me.
I don't think beer is made for kids, man.
People who can't really appreciate beer will appreciate the Tiger Rattler. So
I agree. I appreciate it.
But I am actually very excited about this episode, because I want to find out more about what I believe is truly our national beer. My only question is, if our national animal is the lion, why is it not called Lion Beer? And why isn't it a lion on the can? That has always been my number one question.
We do have a Lion Brewery.
But it's not our national beer. In fact, I know the guys who run it and they're just white guys. So like...
Also, fun fact for you, Mian. If you listen to one of our episodes...
Are you plugging our podcast to me?
Yes.
You will hear in the episode that actually lions are not native to this part of the world. So what Sang Nila Utama probably saw was actually a tiger. Tiger beer makes a lot of sense in that way.
Starkly disappointing for like history textbook.
A lot of our national mythos are very
confused.
Well, thank you for affirming why our podcast is here then. That there's like every reason why, as you explained, is here. And it's interesting that you said, you know, the origins were a little different from how we perceived it to be or how we might have thought it to be. Because the story of tiger beer actually starts with Heineken, who are actually the founders of Tiger Beer. So initially, they were trying to set up a brewery in Indonesia in 1929, and they were rejected, so they came to Singapore instead. And together with FNN, can anyone tell me what FNN represents or what the actual names in FNN are?
It's Fraser and Neve.
Yes, Fraser and Neve. Heineken launched Malayan Breweries in 1931. And a year later, on 3rd October 1932, Tiger Beer was first introduced to Singapore by Malayan breweries. And according to newspaper reports at that time, free tiger beer had been given out at Malayan breweries on the weekend of the launch. And at the time, the brewery was located at Alexandra Road. Now we fast forward to 1940, tiger beer was attributed as the main product that brought Malayan breweries its then record profit of $278,607.97.
Do you think about it, right? That's actually crazy. That's crazy that in 1940, that's a lot of money. If you adjust it for inflation, it's actually an amount.
The chairman of Malayan Breweries at the time commented that Tiger Beer's popularity was due to its quality and affordable price. Now, in November 1939, Tiger Beer performed well against other international beer brands in a competition, achieving the second prize. And since 1933, Malayan Breweries had faced competition from Archipelago Brewery Co., also known as ABC, which started producing Anchor Beer, something we're all familiar with as well. Now, the brewery had been set up by the German company Beck's. And of course, when World War II broke out in 1939, the British government of Singapore labeled ABC as enemy property due to its German roots. In 1941, Fraser and Neve, together with Heineken, successfully bought over ABC. And that's our origin story, friends.
I love this origin story because it really has a lot of factors inside. Number one, they give out free beer on the weekend. Yeah. Like, wow, shook. I would have loved to be there for this free beer weekend. And the fact that people were receptive to it at the start, to me, is very interesting. I don't think anyone gets that hyped about Tiger these days, lah. But like the reports that it's popular kind of like stuns me a little bit. Let's do a survey today and I don't think it'll be the same, right? Across the board.
There's also a lot more exciting Singapore beers. But actually, to me, what was interesting was how politicized and, you know, how involved in international affairs Tiger Beer was, right? Because for those who know their history, Heineken is a Dutch company. And so they were probably more keen to have their presence in Indonesia because of the colonial roots.
Mm.
But the fact that they couldn't get it there because Indonesia is also a Muslim country, they came to Singapore instead to put their brewery. And that's how it started out. And then later on, because of World War II, then they basically, the British government was saying, you know what? It's fine. Bex is public enemy number one. We're going to take over ABC and then you're going to be part of Malayan Breweries instead. It's like, it's so much drama all to do with like beer.
Yeah, this sounds like they were drunk. This sounds like they were drunk, honestly.
So the politicization continues, right? Because during the Japanese occupation in Singapore from 1942 to 1945, Malayan Breweries was temporarily renamed Kirin Beer Kaisha. And for those who know Kirin Beer, that's actually still a beer that exists today. But this was Kirin Beer Kaisha, really just probably a subsidiary or part of the overall Kirin Group. The price of Tiger Beer increased slightly in 1942 during this time. And it was recorded that the price of a dozen quart bottles of Tiger Beer cost $6.60 and a dozen pint bottles cost $3.96. Again, for that time, pretty pricey.
This was a time when your parents would say the fishball noodle 20 cents, you know, that time.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Think about 20 cents fishball noodles and think about a $6 pint of beer.
Basically, all the people back then under Japanese occupation, even if they wanted to drink the beer to drown their sorrows, cannot, because
too cannot expensive. Afford to drown the sorrows, you know what I'm saying?
Thankfully, the Japanese occupation ended in 1945, we know this, and control over Tiger Beer returned to F&N and Heineken in September the same year. Post-World War II, a number of beer companies went out of business or manufactured beer using cheaper ingredients due to limited resources. And in Tiger Beer's post-war advertisements, it was emphasized that Tiger Beer maintained its full strength pre-war quality. Very, very strong branding. I was like, we are legit. We don't mess. Right?
We are pre-war. We are pre-war, guys.
Pre-war quality. Tiger Beer's strong advertising continued into the 1950s, and the brand's advertising catchphrase, "There's always time for a tiger," became well known.
Oh, that's where Tiger Time came from.
Yes. And this started so early. This is 1950s. Okay, quiz time. Okay, I mean, obviously we're talking about beers today, but I wanted some beer in pop culture. So this is a pretty open-ended question, but do you know what famous novel had its title completely lifted, in fact, and inspired by Tiger Beer? Now, I will give you a small hint. This novelist wrote A Clockwork Orange, Anthony Burgess.
Is it Tiger Time?
It's very close to that.
I don't know. I really don't.
Okay, yeah. Don't write a novel next time, okay? the novel is called Time for a Tiger by Anthony Burgess.
The clue was literally just before this.
The best part is that when people ask him, why do you name it Time for a Tiger? He said, I really like the Tiger Beer advertisement. Like, no joke. Like, he was wholly inspired by the title, It's Time for a Tiger. I just thought it'd be a fun little nod. I'm a literature guy, you all know that. So this tickled my funny bone. Honestly, wasn't expecting any answers from you guys.
I was pretty close, so I'll take it.
You were very close.
I could read your mind.
Yeah, but I really love the fact that, you know, advertising is actually so powerful in the sense that it can spark its own kind of like sentiment, movement. It can spark thought. In 1973, you know, Tiger Beer actually broadcasted its first ever television commercial, and it was titled Earthquake. Now, I've never seen this, but it sounds really interesting. How it goes is that this 1 minute long commercial takes place in a coffee shop setting where some customers are enjoying Tiger Beer despite an ongoing earthquake. And the commercial ends with, you know, those cheesy taglines they used to have. It says, nothing can shake a tiger drinker.
Wow.
It's in the beer. And
I actually,
like, wow,
quite like it.
That's so good, right?
Strong,
like, that's
messaging.
Smart, guys.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Actually, beer in general, right? Beer companies in general are really good at advertising. Like, for some reason, all the beer companies, like if you think of Heineken, you can think of your classic like ads. You think of a Carlsberg,
Coronas,
all this imagery comes in. Tiger also probably had to maintain its game because, you know, advertising was a way to really establish yourself in the market.
You think it's because they know how to have fun? I mean, it's in the drink. It's literally
go to
in
meetings
the drink.
Pretty drunk. It's gonna be like, all right, guys, we gotta come up with an idea. Okay, I don't know what it is, but we're gonna get an idea out of this. And then just keep going. Do you guys remember any sort of like ads about Tiger Beer in your younger days? I remember slogans like, you know, like, it's Tiger Time.
Yeah,
that's
same.
One of the closest ones.
To me, it's the jingle that stands out. Because to this day, when someone asks, what time is it? It's like, it. Yes, a Singapore. Yeah. And yeah, it's Tiger Time, like in your head.
It's funny that we remember these things.
I know there was one recently called like Uncage Your Tiger.
Oh.
Yes.
I think that's like very recent.
It's all these cool little things, which I think as Singaporeans, we kind of somehow it just seeps into our social consciousness and we remember small things like this. We actually do know these things, we just don't talk about it enough.
Yeah.
On 9th April 1960, a ceremony was conducted at Malayan Breweries to celebrate the new addition of a canning plant at the Tiger Brewer. Due to the increased consumer demand for Tiger Beer, Malayan Breweries decided to step up production by investing in a canning line that had a capacity of 300 cans per minute. Now, this new and improved canning line was set up in the 1965s, and experiments for canned Tiger Beer actually began in 1936, though, as a show of support for the Malayan tin industry. Malayan breweries tested Tiger Beer that had been transferred into American imported cans against bottled Tiger Beers across a span of 2, 4, 6, and 8 weeks. However, the initiative did not take off due to added taste that the tin lining imparted onto the beer itself. So based on what you were saying just now, Rovik, like earlier in the episode, you were really onto something. There is a distinction between how we can and ship beer overseas.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I consider myself a bit of a beer connoisseur.
Did not know that.
Do tell, good sir. Tell me more about your beer knowledge.
And actually, there is a very significant difference between when beer is bottled and when beer is put in a can. So most cans now are aluminium cans, right? And so because of that, actually, there's not much transference of like the metallic taste to the beer. In fact, to some extent, it is sort of a source of pride to be able to can your beer because that means you have enough volume to be able to get a canning factory to support your beer, right? So actually, if you see canned beer out there, it's a pretty big deal. Bottled beer, which actually I tend to like, is actually much easier to make because it's easier to get bottles and just put on a label onto it. And the bottled beer also tends to have a very different taste from canned beer, I think because of your ability to retain some of the pressure and such. So sort of all of these efforts to like, you know, move towards canned beer and to expand its sort of production, I think are all emblematic of like that time in history when production is ramping up across the board. And now you have even more different types of ways of delivery, right? You have kegs, you have all sorts of stuff that beer is delivered through. So yeah, just some fun facts about beer.
I always have this impression that like canned tiger beer feels classier than bottled tiger beer. Maybe because I always see the uncles and aunties selling or drinking from bottled tiger beer at Kopitiams compared to a can of six.
I think I get where you're coming from. Like I was thinking bottled tiger beer. I wasn't thinking about the big ones that you're talking about, the coffee shop style kind of, you know, the one where they ask the beer auntie, yeah, say like, hey, tiger tiki, right? the pizza of me, they say, oh, hey, auntie, tiger tiki, you know, then she'll bring auntie, oh, lie. Then she'll like uncap it for you and stuff. Yeah. That, I can see why your impression is that it's less classy. Let's say a social setting, right? Like we're just hanging out in a party. If I had a bottle, like the small bottle of tiger beer, those glass bottles, I always find it to be very classy compared to cans of beers where it's like, hey, yo, bro, welcome to my NUS like dorm party or some shit, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting you brought that up because look at another beverage brand like Coca-Cola. Right? It's always touted that the bottled Coca-Colas are classier than the canned ones because the canned ones are more rampant. Like you see them around so much, but the bottled ones are like classic. You can't get them anymore. So I really think it's about accessibility. Yeah. I think that matters as well.
Rovik, do you like drinking beer from cans or beer from bottles?
I like my beer draft.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Beer connoisseur. Like, okay.
I'll go to a tap room and I'll find like beers on tap, and that's the only thing I like. So, you know, sometimes they will have like really, really good beers in bottle, and I will still go for an okay beer on tap.
Right. So up till this point, we know that the Tiger Brewer is located at, or was located at, Alexandra Road. But then after close to 70 years of being there, the main production hub for Tiger Beer was relocated to Jalan Ahmad Ibrahim at Tuas in 1990. And the new manufacturing site cost approximately 200 million SG dollars to build. That's insane.
Flex.
In the same year as the relocation, Malayan Breweries was renamed Asian Pacific Breweries, APB. Oh, so that's where ABB comes from. Like every time I see like on the board, bracket APB, now I know what it means.
Yep. It's the big boys. It's the big boys.
And Jalan Ahmad Ibrahim is the current site. So it's been the same site since 1990 for Tiger Brewery. Fun fact about Tiger Beer is that you can go to the brewery and do a brewery tour. Oh. It is possible for you to do that. Because I love brewery tours. I love like learning about how the beer is made and stuff like that. And so for Tiger Brewery, you can go to the Jalan Ahmad Ibrahim site. And actually, I think it's less than $50, but you get the tour and you get some like free beers at the end, or beers as part of your ticket at the end, which is actually, you know, if you're looking for stuff to do in Singapore, here's one.
And in case you're wondering, how do I get there? The closest MRT station is Joo Koon. Okay. So after you visit NTU, you head straight down Joo Koon. Tiger Beer is there. Adding on to what Rovik said, the tour is actually available from Tuesday to Sunday with 5 sessions timed at 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 p.m. There you go. I did not know about this previously, so I feel like this has been added to the list of things you can do to be a tourist in Singapore. Now, Tiger beer was made readily available in Malaysia in 1962, when Malayan Breweries opened its first manufacturing plant in Sungai Besi, Kuala Lumpur. And in 1981, Tiger beer was distributed to the UK and Germany markets. Tiger beer continued to expand into countries in Asia, such as Vietnam, China in 1993, and Thailand, Sri Lanka, Mongolia, and India in 2001. And 6 years later, by 2007, there were 30 manufacturing sites in 12 different countries, and Tiger beer was available in more than 60 countries worldwide. I actually feel a sense of national pride reading this.
there's something interesting about this, right? Yeah. It's like, wow, we really started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah,
very great.
That could be their new campaign, by the way. Now, in the Asia-Pacific region, Tiger's production volume increased from 2.9 million hectoliters in 2011 to 5.1 million hectoliters in 2013. Just 2 years. Almost twice as much. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And in 2014, Tiger beer was recognized for being one of the biggest business successes in Vietnam's beer market, where there was a 21.8% increase in manufacturing. By 2017, Tiger beer was producing 11.5 million hectoliters of beer. It's interesting.
That's a lot of beer.
I think now Tiger beer has earned a good reputation. Like, it's considered good beer. But for like I said, for a long time, I thought of Tiger beer as like, you know, your simple macro, not really fine. But if you go to Cambodia, Vietnam, because they also have their own national beers, Tiger beer actually ranks as like a premium beer in some of these markets, which is actually really interesting. It's like, it's all relative, you know, it's all market positioning.
We hang out in Thailand quite a fair bit, me and my friends. And over there, because Singha is essentially, there's a tiger logo on the Singha beer and there's Tiger beer next to it. So they always say, like the locals always say, like these two are the beers that are fighting each other. One is trying to like beat the other tiger at all times. You have diehard fans of Tiger beer in the region. And I think that's interesting. I don't know if I wear a Tiger beer like identity on my sleeve, right? Like I'm not going to be like, hey, yeah, like Tiger ride or die. Like that's not me in general. But there are people who champion the beers. Like, this is my favorite beer.
So guys, remember how we, you know, started this origin story with bringing Heineken into the picture? Well, this is where it goes full circle, guys. Because in 2012, FNN agreed to sell Asia Pacific Breweries, again, APB, to Heineken at $7.9 billion.
Wow.
So if it's not full circle, I don't know what it is.
It's a cash out, man. 7.9 bill.
Now, initially, there was stiff competition between Heineken and this Thai tycoon called Sharawan Sirivadhanabhakdi for the management and ownership of APB, and therefore the right to distribute Tiger beer. And Sharawan owned Thai Beverage, which was Southeast Asia's second biggest brewer at the time. So one would think we know where this story is going. However, on 19 September 2012, Sharon pulled out of the business war and pledged his support towards Heineken. What? More than a week later, all FNN shareholders gave their consent for the takeover of APB by Heineken. Oh, it's a happy ending.
So we're just going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the cool campaigns and I think like efforts on the ground that Tiger has done for the Singaporean identity and maybe even like, you know, more of a movement style kind of thing. And then as people who love drinking, we'll probably share some of the local breweries that we know, maybe talk a little bit about some that you might not know, and hopefully learn a little bit more about what's available in the market. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's crazy to think that we're in Season 5 of the SG Explained podcast, and you, the listener, have been a great part of that experience. If you like what we've been doing over the last few seasons and you want to support some independent podcasters, here are three ways that you can do so. The first is to subscribe, and that's by just clicking the subscribe button or follow button on any of the platforms you're listening to us on. The second is to share. Share our content, our episodes with people that you think would enjoy learning about the Singapore identity and challenging some of the preconceived notions that they may have. And finally, directly support us by clicking on the anchor link in the description area where you can make a small contribution that helps us support some of the costs of producing these great podcasts. Thank you again for being part of the SG Explained family, and we look forward to making many more great episodes for you. And we're back from the break. We're going to jump right into actually what I think is one of the best parts about Tiger is their campaigns, right? Their ad campaigns, their marketing campaigns. I'm going to call out two notable ones, and then we'll talk a bit about the street food movement, which actually is one of, I think, collectively all of our favorite ones over here. So the two smaller ones, the first one is called 3890 Tigers. Ooh. And this was in 2017. Tiger Beer collaborated with the Worldwide Fund for Nature, WWF, to start a campaign called 3890 Tigers. And the campaign stood for the cause of protecting wild tigers from becoming extinct. The campaign was slated to last 6 years, and Tiger Beer donated US $1 million to TX2, a movement aimed to increase the tiger population by 2 times by 2022, which is this year. A site was also created for members of the public to take an oath to protect tigers. Beyond Singapore, the campaign was also publicized in Malaysia, Cambodia, China, Hong Kong, Russia, the US, and New Zealand. And within 8 weeks, the movement received a response of more than 32,000 oaths. I find this like really, really positive because Tiger Beer is taking something that's very iconic to it, its tiger motif, and actually looking at how we can combine its brand reach with actually making a social impact, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you can think of it as like, you know, maybe contrived, but in this case, it actually was able to create a lot of attention and raise participation and maybe even funds.
And working with like actually WWF is like the right move here, right? You go to the big boys who know their stuff and just come in as a brand ambassador or like some sort of like brand lead the charge sort of like position.
Yeah, and this actually continued. So the second campaign I talked about in 2018, it's called Rash Stripes. And Tiger Beer worked again with the WWF and Kenzo to create a clothing line called Rash Stripes. The line was sold at Ginza 6 in Tokyo. And the coats were designed by 4 illustrators, printmakers, and visual artists from Southeast Asia and the United States. So Cambodia, Malaysia, Singapore, and the US. The coat hangers that, you know, you were hanging these coats on were made of snare wire that is normally used for hunting wild tigers.
Wow.
So it's a bit of like, sculptural art in place of.
Yeah.
And all profits, again, went to the WWF organization. Later in that year, Tiger Beer launched Tiger Roar in Seoul, South Korea. And the event comprised of live performances, fashion and art shows, and light showcases. Notable guests such as fashion designer Amos Ananda Yeo, visual artist Ji Young Lee, and musical artist Roxanne were present at the event. And this is, again, actually what I really like about Tiger is really the ability to do that sort of like brand amplification.
Yes.
And take a very simple message, which is it's all about having a good time, but connecting it to so many other things, right? And really bringing that all together. Yeah, I'll give credit where credit is due. Tiger has done a really good job of understanding how to position itself as a lifestyle brand. Which brings us to one of our favorite events, and this is a bit closer to home, right? So Tiger Beer did this thing in 2016 called the Street Food Movement. In April 2016, this campaign was aimed to promote hawker culture in Singapore and motivate locals. Again, just taking one step back, right? Remembering that Tiger Beer has had a really good regional and international presence, but in Singapore, I think it still had a very mixed sort of reception. Mm-hmm. And so this was in some ways aimed to cultivate local appreciation again, right? So they wanted to motivate locals to show their appreciation to the hawkers, but Tiger Beer wanted to be a part of it. And so in conjunction with the campaign, Tiger Beer organized pop-up food courts at the ground levels of public housing estates, right? So your HDB blocks between 20th April and 18 May, so around a month.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Beer also sponsored videos that featured inspiring hawkers in Singapore, really creating that emotional hook. In early 2017, 25 new hawkers were given donations of up to Singapore $10,000 each from the Tiger Street Food Support Fund to help set up their businesses. And the Tiger Street Food Festival was held at Tan Quee Lan Street in 2017 and the Deck on Prinsep Street in 2018. All of this was aimed to raise funds to support the new generation of Singaporean hawkers. The event consisted of food stalls from hawker centers, as well as live performances. And in 2018, Tiger Beer invited Gail Belmont, a former finalist on the China Super Vocal 2016, to be part of the festivities. Tiger Beer raised $72,000 in 2017 and $11,000 in 2018.
That's crazy.
Which, again, very impressive. So I remember this. I don't know if you guys do, but I remember Tiger Beer doing a lot of stuff with the hawker culture. And here's another plug. If you want to learn more about hawker culture, we have a full episode about this.
We have a full episode on hawker culture.
Yeah, but I think Tiger Beer really understood how important this was. And I think this did help create a more positive impression of Tiger in my mind.
In fact, if you think about it, it just makes sense. Hawker centers already have Tiger Beer. Like, it's a thing that you consume at hawker centers. So them coming in to say, like, we want to be a part of it, we want to keep it sustainable, and we want to introduce the next generation of hawkers in, it just feels so on brand. And you can't help but appreciate the fact that Tiger Beer is trying to do this. And that's the story of, like, Tiger Beer. And I think a lot of things which we've discussed today really speaks to an identity, something which it's always in the background of what we know, but then we brought to light. I thought we'd also, you know, not just give it to the big boy, Tiger Beer and Heineken, to shed some light on local brands. Some of them are also pretty big, lah, not gonna lie, but they are the unsung heroes of the brewing culture here in Singapore. Maybe you might know some of these. The first one is this one called the Sunbird Brewing Company. I've seen their cans around. They look super
so
beautiful.
Pretty.
You guys can just Google. So pretty, dude. Like, the art on it is insane. And this one was launched so recently during the circuit breaker. This was like during 2020, during the pandemic.
Wow.
The Sunbird Brewing Company had already won many accolades. It's conceptualized by this person called Clive Tan, who has bragging rights as the youngest professional brewer during his stint at Archipelago, a local brewery we'll talk about later. And, you know, that brewery is known to inject a lot of local creative flavors into its brews. The result for this in the Sunbird Brewing Company is a versatile craft beer styles like pale ale called Fly and Light. There is a white IPA called Birds of Paradise. Sounds really nice. Yeah. A Scottish ale called Eclipse of the Sun. A Belgian wheat beer called Fluff Up. And tropical stout. You love stout, right?
Yeah, man? I love stout.
This is called Galactic. Yeah, all these names sound so cheery. Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. They have a tap room, guys. You can go and have beer in their place in Ang Mo Kio. Yeah.
Not very far.
You work in Toa Payoh.
Yeah, I work in Toa Payoh, so you just come visit me in the office, then we go home.
I wouldn't mind. I feel like they have some flavors that I would be really game on to try.
If you guys want to find out more, they actually do sell their beers online. You guys can check them out. We're not sponsored by any of the, just to be clear, we're not sponsored by any of these beer brands today, but brands out there, if you guys are interested in sponsoring us these beers, we never say no.
I love stout, just saying.
Do good drinks. The second one was really interesting because I've never seen this personally. I've heard about it before from a friend, but I've never had it personally. It's called That Singapore Beer Project. The pictures look pretty cool. They look almost like medicinal bottles in some of their printings. You can actually try some of their interesting flavors. They go off the beaten track with this very unique but supposedly familiar flavors. Give you an example. One is called Kiam Seng Ti and another is called Kopi O Nanyang Stout. Mm-hmm. Right, so one is like this, what's that called? Sour plum?
Yeah,
it's lime. The first one's like sour plum flavor and lime, yeah. And the other one is Kopi O Stout, which all has this like local sensibility towards it. But
even
it's
the,
still a beer,
the packaging,
right?
You know, actually has like motifs that represent the Singapore identity, like the Kopi O packet. When you take it away, that's so iconic
of
the Singapore culture. So I love that they included that in their packaging because it's a new beer. But it's so nostalgic in a way, which I really like.
I've seen this before. And actually, they've definitely had a very like mixed reaction. So a lot of people loved like the local infusion, but some people were a bit like put off by the strong taste. And actually, I was trying to find if they're still around. I couldn't really find any information. So they may be in hiatus right now, actually.
Oh, man, that would stink.
I've actually had friends introduce like durian beer to me. But I was a bit apprehensive. Like, I love durian. I love how it smells. I love everything about it. Truly Singaporean. But have you guys tried durian beer?
Durian beer. I'm looking at one that I found on Craft Beers SG called the Musang Durian Ale. And this one is done by another local brewery, which it's not in my list, but I should have included it because I actually like them a lot. The 1925 Brewing Company.
That's just down the road from my
it's
place.
It's right near your house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very near your house, man. They too have some insane beers. And one of the founders, Ivan, just a very passionate man about Teochew food. So he serves a lot of good food at the bar as well. You guys should check it out.
I've been to 1925 and they have a lot of like local fusion dishes that you definitely must try. And as a Teochew myself, because my mom's Teochew, I think they do it really well, you know, just preserving the culture, but also kind of introducing new tastes, new flavors, I would say, to people who are not entirely connected with that part of their culture.
100%, 100%. Another one that I kind of like, I like the labeling on this, and I've seen it quite a fair bit. This is like pre-pandemic times. This is the Tuas Brewing Co., which is a concept by Trouble Brewing. And this brand debuted with lager that pays homage to our nation. Aptly named Singapore Lager, it's this light, sessionable beer that pairs very nicely with like local classics. So they always take their marketing pictures with people eating like Ha Cheong Gai la,
oh,
or like
cute.
local food. Yeah, it's very much part of their grungy style kind of brewing company. It's stocked at a lot of bars around town. So if you're around the place and you see this, do let us know. I'd love to hear where you're finding these. The last one, this is one that is being sold. It's sold in FairPrice nowadays, dude. Like, these guys have made it so big. The Archipelago Brewery has actually quite a storied history. It first opened its doors in 1933 under the German brewery Beck, right? We were talking about them just now. In 2006, it finally reopened under Singaporean owners and began brewing small batches of craft beers. Regular offerings include like Irish Ale, Summer IPA. They have this thing called the Bohemian Lager, which I hear is really, really good. I guess you guys should try it. But the most, you know, iconic one, and I think exciting for locals, this I can personally attest to, is the Singapore Blonde Ale. That's my favorite. They are always there at Beer Fest on a year-to-year basis. And it's brewed with crushed calamansi, pandan leaves, or like this crispy wow. aftertaste. And it's supposed to be, it's very refreshing. It's very refreshing. Nothing quite like it. Even though it's a bit pricey, I would definitely suggest it. If, you know, people are coming over for a party, having it around makes a hell of a difference and a good conversation starter.
That's very cool. I want to add one to this list, right? So I've had all the beers that you mentioned, Elliot, and they're all good recs. But here's what I want to add, right? I'm a big fan of breweries and industrial estates. And actually, my favorite thing to do is to go to an industrial estate, and you can do this in, you know, parts of the US and Europe, and just like hop around different breweries in one estate. We don't really have that in Singapore, although maybe in Tuas that could become a thing. But one area that's a bit more accessible is actually in Pink Blossoms Brewing. So Pink Blossoms Brewing is in Ubi. And Elliot, I don't know if you remember, we've actually been there.
We went together. Yeah. We went with one of our guests.
And Ubi is basically an industrial estate, and you can go and see the actual brewery. But they have a tap room where you can get draft beers pretty fresh, right? And it's a pretty awesome place. If you're looking for that industrial estate vibe, I think Pink Blossoms is the closest you can get. I still like it to be a lot more grungy, but Pink Blossoms is, you know, it does its job. It's pretty fun to just
check out. It's got a hipster, it's like those like percent Arabica kind of like vibes, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Exactly.
Thanks so much, guys. You know, we're going to go for drinks one of these days. As kind of like a wrap-up point from here, after learning about Tiger beer and all these other local beers, has it filled you with any sense of pride? Like, has it changed your impression of Tiger beer?
For sure. Like, I feel such a sense of pride knowing that Tiger beer is taking over the world, basically. And, you know, I feel almost ashamed to say this, but like when my international friends think about coming to Singapore, and I always think, what do I have to offer here that would make them go like, whoa, you know? Because like they come from like places like Spain, for example, and they have like really rich history, right? With their sangria and their wine and na-na-na. But for us, it's like, what do we have here that's like Singaporean made? And now that we've done this episode, I can safely say, you know what? When they come here, they should definitely try Tiger beer. And I would actually have something to say about it.
You know all the history, right?
Exactly.
About Heineken and this Thai guy who was in the middle of a fight.
Charun.
Exactly. No, exactly.
I love that Tiger has projected itself onto like the global market. That, you know, if you go around the world, people do recognize Tiger beer, and sometimes they know that they also recognize that Tiger beer is a Singaporean beer. Right, so I'm all about, like, you know, national pride, putting our name out there. And I think Tiger Beer does a pretty good job. And you know what? What better way to project your image than through a fun beer? Because a lot of people think Singaporeans aren't fun.
Yeah, we can be fun.
All right, when we have to say it like that, we are less fun.
It's Tiger time, guys. Come on. Well, thanks so much for being here, everyone. And thank you, listeners, for, you know, tuning in to another episode of SG Explained. We have so much more left in the season. Love you guys. Share with us your favorite beers. Like, we're always open to DMs. And if you have more ideas for episodes that you want us to do, do drop us some messages. All right, that's all for today. We'll see you in the next one. Take care.
Goodbye. Bye.